Welcome, Capital Raisers. Today I have Natu Myers on the show. He owns a company called Raises.com, and we go into how he helps capital raisers set up funds and put in systems, processes, and even a sales force to assist with raising money. We also dive into how he works with broker dealers. Are you ready to raise? If you would like to explore partnerships with me, talk shop on capital raising, or hire me as a mentor, use the scheduling link in the show notes. With that, it's Capital Raiser Show episode 267, and it starts now. Rock and roll, I got Natu Myers on the Capital Raiser Show. Welcome, my friend. How you doing, man?
Better now that I'm seeing your face.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
I think I've ran into you a couple times, but I don't know that we've been on a Zoom call, or maybe we have. It's been a while since we last chatted back and forth. Welcome to the show, man. Capital Raiser Show Season 3 now brought to you by Richard Wilson and PitchDex.com. So really an honor to be working with them. So for the audience that doesn't know you, Natu, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in real estate investing. You're in Canada, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. So you raised capital. Can't wait to hear about this. Tell me how you got involved with this.
Yeah, you want the short version or the long one? Because I can be here all day.
Let's do the medium, about 3-minute version, 2 or 3 minutes.
Appreciate the show. And basically, I used to be a coder. The coding then turned into being interested in crypto. When I was coding, I heard about the craze with the whole Bitcoin world and all that before it became popular. And then that turned into big companies that wanted to raise capital, because there are a lot of people that are attempting to raise capital with not knowing all the legalities behind that. And at the time in Canada, there were only like 2 companies that were registered to help these types of companies raise capital. And one of them I worked with and, you know, partnered with, registered with the Ontario Securities Commission. I learned how to raise capital in a general sense for other types of companies outside of cryptocurrency, ironically. So after doing that, learning how people find investors, they do the paperwork, they sell investors on a deal, they get the money, and then they make sure it's all clean. After learning how that process works, just took some more like licenses, learned a bit about how it works, got some business mentors, and then decided to go with Raises.com and create Raises.com because I just saw a market opportunity.
So you are the owner of Raises.com. This is your company?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Very cool. Okay. And what does Raises.com do? Because I think I've had some of your guys reach out. It might have been you, actually. You guys help other operators raise capital for their deals, or is that incorrect?
You're on the ball. So basically, we help the people that are looking to do either their first real estate syndication or a real estate private equity fund. We help them get set up to do that. And then we also give them the systems and the processes to raise capital with investors, processes, training, and a lot of support. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
So you help set up the fund too, in some cases, or no?
In all cases.
Are you typically helping syndicators in the United States create funds? You're not a lawyer, right?
No, we're not a lawyer. We just partner with different law firms.
Perfect.
We're able to offer that legal finish after we do the drafts.
And are these customizable funds? Are they template kind of funds? Are they expensive?
Yeah, the most expensive ones. So I can walk through 3 levels. Some people doing one apartment acquisition, that one is pretty straightforward. We basically have some forms in the piece of code that people enter in 40 different pieces of information. And then we handhold them to make sure we're entering the right things, like the pref return, the IRR, all these things. And it generates the documents and everything, the data room, all the files and all that stuff. That's just for a one-off syndication. If somebody wants to raise capital to acquire whatever they want, if they have enough experience, then it's a few differences that can enable people to do that, to choose whatever investments they want. But we're able to do this as well, just with slightly more questions. And then the third one, some people that are super, even more experienced, they create a real estate investment trust. And it requires a lot of things. We've seen lawyers ask up to $40,000 to do this. But some people, they've come through us, and then we lowered some of those fees down to like $15,000 or $10,000 from those same lawyers, because the basic infrastructure is already built. And then the law firm, they're just really validating and vetting it after everything is finished. So those are kind of the 3 levels there.
So your company interviews the potential syndicator, gets them to answer some questions, and then you take this information and then you partner with other lawyers who create the docs for them. Typically, when you have that kind of relationship, based off of some of the friends that I have that call themselves fund architecture consultants, they can get a lawyer to basically do a rubber stamp or lower the fees because you've done a lot of the work that they do. And then if I'm correct, you said that you can do a single purpose vehicle or a syndication or possibly a semi-specified vehicle so that you can do maybe a combination of two properties in one syndication. And then you also do a fund structure, or you can also do a real estate trust. Did I get this right so far?
Yeah, but even simpler, you're doing one deal at a time, which usually the people who aren't as experienced, we recommend because they have better success rate that way. Then it's one where it's more, hey, I want to acquire this type of apartments or this. I want to have like 20% land deals, 80% existing value add deals. Mm-hmm. Then we can wrap them up and create a fund because some people are ready to do that. And then the third, sometimes there's special situations. They want to create a real estate investment trust specifically, and then they want to go public one day. And same process. It's just a longer questionnaire and more work that we compress as well.
Okay. The difference between a syndication and a fund is a syndication is attached to a specific property and a fund is attached to a specific business model. When you are talking to people, are you giving them business advice? Are you determining whether or not they're even capable of raising capital? Are you providing them with a system so that they can go out and raise capital? Tell me more about this particular part.
Yeah. So what we usually do is we really market to those who actually don't know some of the ins and outs of, they're kind of halfway through, they're not sure, and they need some handholding and some help. Even some that are more experienced, basically, it ranges. Some people don't even know what's a pref return. Some people don't know these things. And then what's an IRA or what's that general partnership, right? So then that's one level. And then there's some know all these basic things, but I need some people to underwrite this deal. I need some, you know, pitch decks. I need to get some, be in touch with some people that are raising tens of and hundreds of millions of dollars in the closed network to see what's working in this current market, almost like a little mastermind or a group. Some people just need to have that extra confidence. And maybe they even know everything, but they just want to have that extra confidence at the beginning. And obviously the third one is preparing everything. And then even people can even pay lawyers even $100,000, but it's like, will this deal close? So that's the third thing, is just to see like, hey, how do you test to see if the market is willing to buy what you're selling without taking as much risk before you begin and waste your time or the investor's time and waste money? So those are the three pieces.
I'm just thinking from my own experiences, the lawyer can basically say, what is it that you're trying to raise for? And then they'll find out the amount that you want to raise, the time period that you want to raise, and they'll write the docs. But what a lot of times these lawyers don't do is give you business advice. Some people think, syndicators and future potential sponsors think, I'm not good at raising capital, so I'll just launch a fund so that way the money will be there. But they don't understand the fact that they're going to still have to market the way any other capital raiser would. So some lawyers will go ahead and write those docs, even though you have no capacity or systems or business to raise capital. And that's one of the flaws that I think happens, because a lot of lawyers will take your money, but they won't give you business advice. In raises.com, do you provide business advice? Do you talk about some of the stuff that I just mentioned?
That's a good point, pretty heavily. That's why we market it as a program. So yeah, there is some training and then there is a support element. Obviously, everyone wants to get the money. We say that that's the goal. We market what people want, but we give them what they need in order to get what they want. Because if we go around saying, hey, we focus on the compliance and all of that, then it's not sexy. But then we know that people want the money. But in order for people to get the money, you have to give them the medicine that they need, making sure that they're ready, making sure that they have a clear understanding. The quick answer is yes, there is business advice, but mostly on targeting the ideal investor avatar, testing it so that you don't take as much risk with money before you see if there's a fund market fit instead of product market fits or some of that. And then there's like quick introductions and talking to different people who we work with to see, hey, is this something that works in this current market? So there is a bit of that because it's the medicine that people need, even though it's not as sexy as getting the money.
Interesting. Okay. So there's actually a market for what you're talking about, because some of these fund architecture consultants that I know, they'll just turn people away. They're like, you're not set up to raise capital. I can't help you. I don't think it's a good idea for you to start a fund. But what you're saying is, hey, even somebody that doesn't know how to raise capital, you'll take them because you can give them all the systems that they need in order to start raising capital, the pitch decks, the marketing, the implementation of a business plan so they can get in front of people. Am I correct so far?
Yeah, you're onto it, because the people who come to us and say that they want to start the fund, we tell them that, hey, you know, we really don't recommend this because the model is kind of like, imagine kind of the typical, the cliche evolution thing of the monkey and the human. So it's really the first step is making sure that you invest yourself in real estate, because that's the track record you usually show to the people that you want to find for your syndication. And then after that, you syndicate a few times and say, okay, then let's talk about a fund after you've syndicated a few times. But then for those who try to jump right into the fund or a real estate investment trust before they even did a syndication or worked with somebody on a syndication, we say, hey, you know, we think that you're going to have a hard time, because we just look at our other members that we work with and we see that the pattern is you have to start with self-investing, then syndication, then blind pool fund, because people are not going to have success, generally speaking, if they skip steps. So we just set the expectation there.
Do you work with operators that want to start their own fund, or do you help people create a fund of funds so they can raise capital for other people's deals, or both?
I guess mostly like 90% is really operators. We had some few instances of people who want to create funds of funds. We would assist them, but not very common. We see those folks who want to create a fund of funds, but I mean, it's not something that is uncommon or is too crazy or anything. So it's usually the same process. But the main question is, will they have success with investors, and will they actually have investors say, hey, yeah, I trust this guy's track record or his team's track record?
All right. So what are some of the systems that you provide for people, or how do you help them raise more capital?
Yes, there are really two parts. Number one is the prep, and then number two is the raising. This is private placement memorandum. Depending on the exemption that they want to do, the rules that they want to raise capital with. Then there's the subscription agreements. Then there's the pitch deck, the executive summary. And then after that, there's the financial projections and pro forma. There's that just to say, hey, this is a strong track record. We get some CFAs, chartered financial analysts, to do this. So that's the prep side. And then the raising, and then the tools are just quick forms and supports that and code that can make that. The raising is number one. Is affiliates of raises.com. So usually FINRA registered investment banks is just to say, hey, what did the investment bank say about your deal? And then it's to get feedback from them directly. And then based on that feedback, then they can change their terms and say, hey, my pref return's too high or too low, or my returns are not that good. And then after that, after this period of talking to people, either investment banks or people in the community who we're working with. So we have around 300,000 data points on investors globally. And what they can do, they can hire an appointment setter, you know, to do outreach to these investors. And these people will be contractors underneath the company. It can either be an appointment setter, or it can scale up to a full co-GP depending on how they want to hire somebody, the budgets and all that good stuff.
And then do you help them, the sponsors, with educating and nurturing their investors if they're not good at that? Do you work with that at all?
Oh, no, we just focus on usually that initial, initial capital raise. And then we usually delegate the fund management after, like Juniper, Square, a lot of good companies we refer out to for the reporting and all that. We're just focused on helping people like set up their website, the automations to get that initial raise done.
So automations, websites, what about like people's social media campaigns? Is that something that you help with or no?
Yep. LinkedIn seems to be the best channel. And we don't want to pump the name of the actual one that we recommend because they want to, they're invite only, but we work with a good company that what they do, people have can have an army of accounts on LinkedIn and then really just book as many calls as possible based on how they want to scale out those campaigns. And then this is like based on the investor avatar that is being targeted here.
And this is how you help people grow their databases. Do you see when somebody's growing their database that they can convert people, new people that they haven't really established a relationship with, to actually become investors in their deals? Or is that something that is a long sales cycle?
In Canada, it's a long sales cycle, but in America, it's not. So one of the fellows that's just working with us, he has something a bit different. It's actually a biotech fund, and he spends $5,000 a month on Facebook ads. He subscribes around $80,000 a month in new subscriptions in his biotech fund by targeting doctors who want to invest passively. There are a few examples like that, and I can list them. But yeah, it's amazing in America, like what happens there.
Raises.com, is this active right now? Or are you waiting for some licensing in order to raise capital for people?
We're fully active. We're consultants. So we do the preparation, and we really focus on helping people make sure that they get ready. And then the capital raising is done in the company's name. So raises.com won't be the one reaching out to investors. It's really the companies that we set up, the funds that we set up for the people, and then we get the people to work underneath the companies to go out and raise the capital. That's a model. And then once we get some additional licensing for the broker dealer work, then we'll be able to do it for the person and directly collect commissions on behalf of doing so. So that's why we're not able to directly do that.
So once you have a license, you're able to go and select sponsors and raise capital for them and then get paid a fee?
Yeah, I'll be able to say, hey, me and Natsu Myers or me, like who works at raises.com, I would reach out to investors and then talk to them, hey, buy this deal. Right. So right now, it's just the companies that are really doing that underneath the own company's brand.
Do you ever foresee yourself becoming an operator or raising for your own deals?
The only way I see myself doing that is just taking warrants, building a portfolio from the equity and the shares that I get on behalf of raising for the companies. That's the only way I see myself doing it, because there are a lot of people that say, hey, teaching people how to raise a fund because I've raised a fund. A lot of people say that, but then I'm just focused on what I know best is just the raising capital parts. And then that's going to be the vehicle on how I build my portfolio. And I'll just focus on taking shares of different companies based on in exchange for raising capital for people in situations when I'm able. So that's really the way I'm going to do it. But yeah, like just focus on that for now.
How much capital do you think that you've raised to date?
So reported transactions were roughly 200 million. So amongst all the raises.com members, and there's additional that are potentially unreported, but that's the amount we're working with.
How does that work? The people that are members, are they people that raise capital for other people and then they need a license too? Or how does that work?
Really, the raises.com platform is just somebody who's either just a customer, right?
But we a limited partner customer or what kind of customer?
On the other side, a GP customer, a general partner customer. They come in, they get basically all the access to all the help and support and all that. And then we call them members because I'm not a guru, so we don't call them students or anything. And then also, they're not just like a customer because they're not a machine, because it's a community that we're building and it has to be really safe and people have to be really careful there. So member seems to be the word that kind of summarizes and encapsulates the whole thing.
So a GP operator becomes a member of raises.com. And then what are the benefits? What do they get? Is it just the pitch decks and the structures for creating their own fund? Who are the people that raise capital for other sponsors? Are they people, are they members, or are they something else, other licensed agents of raises.com?
Oh, good question. Yeah, they're different sales teams that we work with that we just have relations with. So the people that manage sales teams at different companies, there was one of the fellows, he manages an eight-figure, and it's really on the online space, an eight-figure sales agency. We work with people that train salespeople, or they're even assistants, depending on somebody's budgets. And then those people get paired with the companies that are raising capital. And then they would enter their own private agreements, such as, hey, I want you as a co-GP, or I want you as a consultant, you know, to reach out to these investors.
So you have sales forces at raises.com, and they raise capital for people's deals. And then you also have GP members in the raises.com that utilize some of the structures that you have in place to help them create automations and raise more capital for themselves. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. In the money that you have raised so far, how do you get compensated? Is it through broker-dealer agreements and you have like some kind of licensing? Tell me about that part.
Yeah, for that, it's the broker-dealers that take the lead on that. So we have relationships with certain FINRA-registered broker-dealers who from time to time, they work with us as a consultant.
Okay.
And then really it's their legal counsel that takes care of those payments. And then, so then really it's the broker dealers that are taking the majority of those fees because they're able to do it directly. And then we just get paid as a consultant, either referral agreements, things like that.
Okay. So let me get this straight. If I'm a broker dealer and I have clients whose money I want to place, I may come to you, Natu, and say, hey, what deals do you have? And if you find them or if you find sources of capital, there's a commission or marketing fee that you get. But that goes through the broker dealer. That's how you get paid. Is that how that works?
Exactly.
If that's the case, why do you need a license? Or do you get paid more if you get a license?
Yeah, the latter. Well, I mean, there's control, right? There's an example of a fellow I used to joke with. What he would do, he would be a broker of a bunch of oil deals and go on WhatsApp and then just try to talk to people who have all these deals. It's like, if you own your own production, then you would have to be like the Joker brokers. The reason why we're focusing on helping people create the funds is that we want people to get access to all the investors without us having to chase people and kind of being between people, say, hey, we spoke to this investor, where's our commission? Because we want to just write ourselves into all the agreements to say, hey, raises.com created this. And they would be able to reach out to the investors freely. And then it's like written as a broker dealer into the deal anyway. Sure, let's just work with these investors, even the ones that they don't introduce. We just really to get as many fees as possible, be incentivized to raise as much as possible too.
Okay. And then does Canadian law interfere with this? Do you have to get your broker dealer's license in the United States, or is there a Canadian version that you use to raise capital in the United States?
Yeah, I would have to work with, they call it a chaperone arrangement with a broker dealer. So it's a chaperone broker dealer arrangement where I will work with another broker dealer, and there are about four that tentatively they're interested. But the way it works is they would be the ones who kind of oversee the interactions. You sort of like park your license with an American broker dealer underneath that licensing, or what's it called? The chaperoning agreement. It's really litigious, but that's basically it in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. If you're out talking to somebody out on the streets or wherever, how do you describe what it is that you do to them?
It always depends on who's asking. They're like,
right.
Probably.
Yeah, it sounds like that would be the case, right?
Yeah, there are eight different answers depending on who's asking. Yeah.
What are the different things, right? So you work with GPs that become members. You also manage a sales force that raises capital. Do you find deals for broker dealers, or do you just find capital for broker dealers?
Well, find deals or capital. So in general, we're focusing all the attention on the GP. So everything to help the GP is really our goal. The broker dealers, they already have enough money. They're just looking for good deals. It's really just to match the good GPs and the good deals to those broker dealers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Sounds simple enough. Now, what is it that you typically raise capital for? Is it multifamily self-storage? Is it triple net lease? Is it developments? What kind of stuff do you raise capital? Is it all of the above?
It's all the above in general, but the best results and the best, like at this time, it's basically existing multifamily value add transactions. Like let's say somebody's, you know, doing a syndication to purchase existing multifamily, and then they also have a track record, either them or their team have a track record of success in their own self-investments in multifamily or even in single family residential. That's really it in a nutshell. Pretty boring, but it works.
So how do you define success? Is it specific markets? Like, does it have to be a metroplex or can it be a tertiary market? And what is a successful track record? Is that like 1,000 units that they've bought and sold? Or is it like, hey, I own 200 units and we haven't gone full cycle yet? What is the parameter?
Well, I mean, a few things. One is that they're making claims that I'll make this much cash on cash return, this much IRR, this much return on equity, for example. But it'll be nice if somebody has at least two deals that they can work on, that they say that, hey, this deal has produced this much IRR, this much cash on cash, this much return on equity in this time frame with the same model. Because somebody doing like development and then they've never done development before, like it's kind of incongruent to what, there's no proof that they've done the same thing before. They produce similar numbers as the numbers that they're saying that they're going to produce on that deal. And then obviously that's pretty critical just for that, to prove that, especially for the serious investors, you can get some of the more newbie investors interested even without such a strong track record. But we focus on the worst case and the hardest investors to crack because we want valuable deals instead of just hype.
So one more question before we go into the lightning round. The sales force that you have that raises capital, what do they do to go find new investors?
So one is that we write a lot of the instructions for them. We call it the standard operating procedures. So there are three things, right? There's the contact building SOPs, the reporting SOPs, and then the actual sales SOP. So then they build the contact base from some of our contact base. So then they look at, hey, they go into the contact base we have. They're like, hey, real estate investor, you know, Ohio, you know, limited part. They just look at what they think that would fit the deal. And then two, they actually do the execution of like reaching out to them, doing the email automations or doing the calls and following the instructions to do the calls. And then three is that they report on the numbers so that say, like, hey, I'm kind of out of KPI. I didn't really get it close as many as I didn't get as many people on the NDA or the subscription agreement as I should. Just to report on all those things as well. So that's what they're doing in a nutshell. And then we have a sales manager that manages all those folks to make sure that they're on track.
You also mentioned that in addition to commercial real estate, you do mergers and acquisitions, raising capital for mergers and acquisitions. Is that right?
Yes, we do, because there's this nasty equity. There are a lot of people that learn about M&A from courses online, but then as soon as it comes to that equity gap, people don't know, like, hey, how do I raise equity? So then those are the folks that we say, hey, we will help you with your equity gap for the investors that are interested in this gap. So then that's the other side. So either real estate or mergers and acquisitions.
Do you think that you have an ideal avatar for raises.com? Who's the best person that you can help?
It's definitely real estate, because the mergers and acquisition sector, I think that the market is pretty up and down, to be honest. You know, one day you have 0% interest, 0% loans, and then everyone went into it. And then I think that a lot of them are over-optimistic. Basically, it's somebody who wants to create a private placement to raise capital for real assets. And then some of those folks are either in M&A or in real estate. And then the market seems to keep on telling me that.
Cool. All right, let's jump into the lightning round. Let me start with this question. What's the best vacation you've ever taken?
Oh, that was easy. Dominican.
Favorite book of any kind?
Ray Dalio Principles.
Ooh, I just got that book. Excited to get into that.
It's really good.
How much of your success do you attribute to mindset?
90%.
And what's the other 10%?
Just mastering the basics, like doing the basics, focusing on simple things rather than complex things.
How long do you want to live?
95 years. Okay, that works.
Don't complain. All right. Biggest difference between who you are now and who you were in high school?
I know what I want to do with my life.
Fair. Okay, so short answer on this. Best way to raise capital from your perspective?
Know what investors want.
What do you love best about multifamily value add investing?
They produce cash.
As a hobby, what do you love best about powerlifting?
I just like getting new PRs, personal records, lifting as much as I've ever lifted.
Okay, do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success?
Yeah.
How so?
I'm Christian, so that helps me with the mindsets. And if this all goes to zero, then hey, I'm not jumping off a building. So.
Have you ever experienced a miracle or had a near-death experience?
I think me getting this raises.com domain is probably one of the biggest miracles in the last like three years. There are many like that, but I don't know, just opportunity, the opportunities I get that are unexpected in general, though.
Those are Love it. Okay, cool. And then last question brought to you by Shanna Amigo, one of our great listeners. She'd like to know, what impact would you like to leave in the world?
Yeah, I just want to change the way investment banking is done so that people that couldn't get into it can get into it, improve humanity, improve the human condition. So that's what I want to do.
Excellent. Well, thanks for entertaining us on that part of the show. Shout out to the Capital Raiser Nation. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star review. Shout out to Legacy Acquisitions, my company, and our sponsors, Syndication Pro, The Family Office Club, and PitchDecks.com. Check out their offers at CapitalRaiserShow.com. Natu, how does the audience get a hold of you, my friend?
They can go to Raisers.com to get a hold of me.
Okay, cool. And then do you have any last words of wisdom for the aspiring capital raiser as they scale on their journey?
I think follow the laws, focus on what investors want, focus on why they say no, if they say no, and then just focus on the few reasons why they move forward to the next step in your deal. Like why they're taking your calls and why they're interested in your deals.
Cool, man. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on. I look forward to following your progress. Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. This is awesome.